Hello and welcome to The Bunker Daily. I am your host, Alex Andreu. I have a job to do and I have a lot of confidence in my abilities. Those are the words of Greek Prime Minister and leader of the New Democracy Party, Kyriakos Mitsotakis. He is about to find out whether the rest of the country shares his self-belief. The polls suggest not necessarily. From an unassailable 49% of the vote, 23 points ahead of Alexis Tsipras, Syriza, 3 years ago, the gap has narrowed to 5 or 6 points. On May the 21st, my country goes to the polls. My guest today is a journalist and correspondent for ERT, the Greek equivalent of the BBC, if you want, and she's here to help us untangle those coming elections. Welcome to the Bunker, Evdoxia Limberi.
Thank you very much for having me, Alexandreou. It's a pleasure, really, at last.
Evi, shall we start with some basics? Who are the runners and riders in this election, and where are their parties in the political landscape? Just to develop a vocabulary, as it were.
Sure. Yeah. Well, as usual, the Greek political landscape is plethoric, to use a Greek word, is rich, in other words. So there are 36 parties and coalitions that were approved by the Supreme Court to take part in these elections. But the main runners is, as you said, New Democracy, Syriza, you know, the previous government, and PASOK, the third runner, the Communist Party, and the other two now are struggling and they are trying to get some votes. One is Eliniki Lisi, that's the Greek solution for Mr. Velopoulos, that is trying to get votes from New Democracy, and he's currently in the parliament. And the other one is Mera 25 of Mr. Varoufakis, that he's trying to get votes from Syriza. And he's in the parliament now. But, Alex, it's the most uncertain elections the country has ever seen. They are called, for a reason, mute elections. Because there is a huge amount of people that they have not voiced, they don't say, not even to the pollsters, what they will vote.
I was reading an article about that today, that the pollsters are really struggling because apparently there is a massive chunk of the demographic that will simply not answer the questions, because I guess there's a feeling in Greece that polling companies are a little bit complicit in trying to shape the landscape rather than simply reporting on it. Is that a fair thing to say?
There is this, they have this reputation, if you want. People talk about that in this manner, in this sort of way about the pollsters. On the other hand, there must be a mistake. How we see everywhere now in Turkey, even in this country. Remember what the pollsters were saying about Brexit, about the elections. Nothing was proved to be right. There's something wrong with the pollsters, and people, lack confidence and they don't trust very much. But the fact that they don't answer is something to watch. There are people that are angry. They don't want to answer. They just hang up the phone. And these are from my sources, journalists that they talk with pollsters, and pollsters tell them that it's the first time that they do they try to do the polls, and only 2 phone calls are responding out of 10. On the other hand, Syriza suggests that the pollsters they're underrepresented in the polls.
Syriza obviously has an agenda to say that, but I have also read from some, reputable sources without really an agenda in this, that some of the voters in Greece are left-wing, but because Syriza is seen to have basically become quite centrist after making quite left-wing promises initially, that a lot of left-wing voters will vote for Syriza, but just holding their nose in a sort of shy way, and they're not showing up in the polls. Do you get similar feedback from people you speak to?
Yes, but that goes for both sides, you know. That goes for new democracy as well. There are people, for example, I talked to someone today and they had some information from middle-upper class voters who are traditionally voting New Democracy. You know, they say that they will vote New Democracy, yes, but not the same persons. They try to find new persons because they are angry as well. And there is also... Yeah, 800,000 undecided voters, and on the top of it, there are 450,000 new voters, young voters.
Yeah,
and that's the main chunk of people. Syriza is, you know, all the advertisements they make, all the political ads they make nowadays, they are targeting these new voters. But it looks like all the recent scandals, if you know the Greek Watergate, all these Predator, the accident, the train accident, the tragic train accident, all of these that. Went against the government, which is New Democracy, doesn't seem to be profitable in voting.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that because there was the horrific train crash outside Larissa, and there was also this so-called Greek Watergate that I heard about here, which was all about the government basically bugging the telephones of various people, including political opponents, including people in their own party, which is really quite extraordinary. And reading those stories, you know, living in a different country, I tended to think, well, this will have a huge effect. But it hasn't had as dramatic an effect as I might have expected. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, and not only I will add to this, that's quite accurate what you said. It's also the head of army, of Greek army, was also bugged his phone. Yes, and the most obvious answer, is that Syriza has been in power recently. 2015 to 2019, it was very hard economically years. Yeah. It was, you know, the economic crisis.
The memorandum, the Eurozone crisis.
One, two, three memorandums. So people still have very fresh memories of what just happened, you know. And the other thing is that the voters of New Democracy will not easily go to Syriza, which is left. The other thing is that not even PASOK, which center-right seems to gain from this. So, and all these people, all this huge amount of people remain undecided. And also Syriza, another reason could be that he did a government, coalition government with Karadzaferis.
This is Alexis Tsipras that basically, in order to form a government, got into bed with really quite a nationalist party.
Exactly.
Nationalist, a sort of,
populist,
flag and Bible, proper flag, army and Bible party.
Yeah.
So what about PASOK? I was going to ask you, because as you know from living in the UK, PASOK has become even a verb here. We talk about PASOKification.
PASOKification.
Because it's a complete wipeout of a party that historically was one of the two main contenders until really very recently and then just disappeared to between really 8 and 15%. Is there any recovery there? What are they looking like now?
Well, we can see a minor recovery. People don't just trust easily PASOK again. It still has people from the past, people that everybody recognizes in Greece. And they were so very attached to other scandals, to other, years of suffering. And they have, you know, they have memories from there as well. And PASOK has to prove itself. These elections, they're a little bit shy again.
Everyone is shy about saying who they're going to vote for.
I know.
Okay, so if there is no clear winner in this election, we are likely to get a second round, but under a different electoral system. Can you explain this to my listeners?
I'll try my best. I'm struggling. Today I was talking with a colleague and she was telling me, I said, can you explain? Oh, no, don't ask me this. I don't understand it either. when Syriza was in government, they voted for simple proportional system. And that is the system people are voting. We are voting. I'm voting also from London on Saturday, though, not on Sunday, with a simple proportional system. But if there's no government on Monday, then the next elections will go under the system that New Democracy voted for in 2020, and that is the enhanced proportional system, if I can say that this way. So that means that with a simple proportional system, a government will be able to be formed if the parties that make it up have a percentage that starts from 45%, if about 10% remain outside the parliament. And it can reach up to 47 to 48% if the percentage that will remain outside the parliament is lower.
Yeah.
That is the best I can do in explaining
this. And basically, there is a threshold below which parties don't get any MPs. So unless you achieve I think it's 2%. Is it 2%
in the new system? 3%.
So unless you achieve 3%, you don't get an MP at all, which means that there are extra seats to be allocated to the parties that did better in the election.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Now, even though the New Democracy government, as you said, created this new system and introduced it, they now seem extremely keen to find a winner in the first round. They've been very active in the media in saying, go out and vote, we have to win the first round. Do they fear actually the system they created might favor Syriza?
No, because they believe that the party that will be first in the first election, the first Sunday, with a simple proportional system, will be the first in the second as well.
Right.
They believe that this is very crucial for them.
I see. The strong horse theory, so-called.
Yeah. And today I was listening to a pollster and she was saying exactly the same thing. There are amongst these undecided people, there are many that will go over the actual, you know, box, the poll, and they will decide at that moment. And whoever they think will win, that's the party they will vote. This is psychological, right. And the pollster was saying that. So the second system, if we go to second elections, of course, which is more likely to do that, it's the enhanced proportional system, and that is what New Democracy voted for in 2020. And according to this, the first party will get some bonus seats. And then they will be able, hopefully, for them, as they believe, that they will form a government. But it's very, very unstable.
Evie, still we think that the most likely coalitions are either New Democracy with PASOK, the sort of right and center, and or Syriza and PASOK, the sort of left and center. Is there a realistic possibility we might end up with a sort of German-style grand coalition of New Democracy and Syriza actually working together?
Oh, but Alex, Greeks are not Germans. They have no tradition on forming coalition governments. I mean, even though there was a coalition government in the difficult years of economic crisis, I mean, it didn't work, obviously. It was just an executive, I would say, not really, because Greece was not independent in economically. The whole country was under the European Bank.
Yes, it was a sort of technocracy that was doing what it was told, essentially.
Yes, they were serving the purpose of getting out of this economic crisis, not much more. But, you know, they will have to do it. But how much it will last? That's the thing. And are we going to the polls 3 months later? Because who is going to a coalition government that is formed from, first of all, you mentioned New Democracy with PASOK. It's not likely to happen.
Because last time, we should say, New Democracy coalesced with PASOK, PASOK got very badly burned. And this is how they've ended up in really quite a bad situation. There's a sort of institutional scar there, isn't there, preventing
there that is just happening. Where exactly, just where it was trying to find its pace and get out of this pacification, as we mentioned before. It participated in the coalition government in those dark years, and it didn't do any good to the party. Also, the leader. His phone was bugged by the
Androulakis,
the leader of PASOK is Androulakis.
Was one of the people that were basically wiretapped illegally by the government.
By the security, service of the government. And, you know, he accuses Mitsotakis personally for this. And in the debate, he said, Androulakis, the leader of PASOK, said some people need to go to prison for that. On the other hand, Syriza is playing the good guy with PASOK. He says that we can agree to some things. He was, if you see the debate, you'll see how he flirts, Tsipras was flirting Androulakis even in the debate. So there are hopes that maybe Syriza certainly has a hope for that, to form a coalition with PASOK. But with this, with these numbers, with these percentages that the
it's not enough
reveal,
anyway. Yeah,
it's not enough. The more we approach in a few days on Sunday, the more we approach Sunday, the more a mobilization. We see a lot of mobilization in the parties that they collect their powers. You know, their people. So this weakens the two small parties. I said they try to gain from New Democracy and from and Varoufakis from Syriza.
One final question. The Freedom of the Press Index that Reporters Without Borders does had Greece in 107th position from a total of 180 nations. And I have been watching a lot of Greek network news recently to get a feel for the election and reading a lot of Greek press. And there is a sense that there is a lot of pandering to the government going on at the moment, because the government really gave the channels, the private channels and the press, a lot of money during the pandemic to keep them open. And again, they're giving them quite a lot of financial aid because of the energy crisis, whatever the excuses at the moment. The point is that the government is putting a lot of money in the coffers of the private Greek channels and the press. Do you think this has the potential to actually propagandize a situation, to change people's minds, if it develops into a full-on campaign, as it were?
Very interesting, Alex. From what we see, no, it doesn't, apparently. Well, New Democracy, don't get me wrong, New Democracy has a lot of loss, but it hasn't really hurt them as much. They're still in the official polls, at least first party.
Yeah, so I mean, the two possibilities, really, the two realistic possibilities is that either New Democracy will end up the biggest party with Kyriakos Mitsotakis as its leader, or Syriza will end up the bigger party with Alexis Tsipras as its leader, but the probability of them securing enough votes to form a government on their own is vanishingly small at the moment, isn't it?
Very, 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 very small. It's even questionable for the second elections as well. So imagine, it's really, as I said, they call it mute elections for a reason. People don't say don't know, they don't say what they will vote. So new elections and the most uncertain elections maybe ever.
Yeah. Evdoxia Limberi, it will be very interesting to watch. Thank you so much for educating me and my listeners. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Remember, there's a new bunker pretty much every day. So if you like our work, you can and should support our work for as little as £3 a month on the funding platform Patreon. Just search for Bunker Podcast Patreon. If you smashed Greece to pieces, said the Nobel-winning poet Odysseus Elitis, you would be left with an olive tree, a grapevine, and a fishing boat. From those three things, you could also put Greece back together. Well, things got close to that during the dark days of the Eurozone crisis. At times, it felt like my country really was being stripped to its bones. And what was revealed were not three, but four elements, the fourth one being politics. As the country convulsed, the one constant was a level of involvement, interest, discussion, debate that I have seen nowhere else in the world where I have lived. And elections, constant elections, yearly it felt like at times. Let's have a good one on the 21st. This is Alex Andreou in the bunker saying over and out.
Hello, I'm Ros Taylor with news of Oh God, What Now?, the politics podcast that's never going to leave its voter ID at home. On Friday's show, it's 6 months until the US election and Donald Trump is stuck sitting on trial in a New York courthouse. Is he bulletproof or can Joe Biden turn around the polls? In the second half, it's local elections week, but we've steadily taken power away from local authorities. What if we gave it back? And in the extra bit for supporters, is there a right level of ruthlessness in politics? That's Oh God, What Now? With me, Ros Taylor, Raphael Baer, Hannah Fern, guest Nikki McCann Ramirez, out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bunker was presented by Alex Andreou. The producers were Liam Tate and Kasia Tomashevich. Audio production was from me, Robin Lieber. Art by James Parrott. Managing editor, Jacob Jarvis. Group editor, Andrew Harrison. And the music was by Kenny Dickinson. And The Bunker is a Podmasters production.